The gospel is from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who is said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The word of the Lord.
When I was a young adult, I moved away from my home area in Southern California and finished my college in Northern Arizona to be near my girlfriend, who's now my wife, so it worked out. The move was successful. But I had this really good friend back in California who I loved to visit whenever I could. He lived in an apartment with his girlfriend. And I don't know what it was, but at this time, when I was like 19, 20, I was especially carefree. I liked to be spontaneous. And more than once, I would show up totally unannounced at his apartment and be like, "Hey, what's up? I'm here to hang out for the next few days." And there I would be. I would just kind of be there and be his guest. And I think he was okay with it. He might have even kind of enjoyed it because he had a similar personality. I'm not sure now if his girlfriend much appreciated it, but I didn't think about that at the time. But when I look back, being an older person and kind of thinking about these things a little more, I think, you know, that was kind of rude. You know, I never really stopped to think that my showing up might inconvenience them, that maybe they had other plans, that maybe it was a busy week, that maybe they wanted some couple time. I just thought, hey, we're friends. I should show up whenever I want. You know, but I was young at the time and a little bit more self-centered. And, you know, like I said, those ideas just didn't cross my mind much. It is true that in today's world, we don't really like unannounced visits very much, do we? Most of us experience life as very busy, and the idea that someone is just going to show up and inconvenience us feels kind of out of line, right? That's why gated communities exist. That's why online shopping exists. People want to get what they want, and they don't want to be hassled on the way to getting it. That's why we don't like telemarketers, right? They take up our time. That's why we don't even like door-to-door religious groups a lot of time. You ever had that person, you open the door, "Oh, excuse me, sir, have you ever thought about," "Nope," and you just want to slam the door. Because, you know, these people kind of get in our way. They get in our plans. Well, some of these feelings of annoyance at being inconvenienced, I think, are understandable. But, you know, in our hyper-busy modern world, sometimes we treat even our loved ones and their presence and the time they want from us as an inconvenience. Hopefully not most of the time, but sometimes we can fall into it. There are kids out there that feel like they have to fight to get the attention of their parents, maybe because their parents are so busy with work or with something else. There are relationships, many relationships, that seriously suffer because sometimes we're more interested in our phones than we are with each other. There are elderly parents out there who feel like they have to make an appointment with their children to get any attention. We've gotten so good at not being bothered, except for by our own agenda, that sometimes we don't even want to be bothered by important stuff because it might get in the way of our stuff, whatever our plan was. So for many of us, even the important things shouldn't show up unannounced. Everything should schedule their time with us. You know, it's interesting how often in the Bible, when God really shows up, when God appears, or when angels of God appear, it says that the response of the humans who are appeared to is so often negative, right? Negative feelings are so often what we find in these stories. God shows up, or an angel of God shows up, and it says people feel troubled or annoyed or perplexed or most commonly afraid. There are so many Bible stories where God or an angel shows up, and the first thing that the angel or God says is, "Do not be afraid." And you know why the angels of God always say, "Do not be afraid"? It's because people initially are afraid when God shows up. Otherwise, they wouldn't say that. So why are they afraid? Why are they perplexed? Why are they troubled? Well, there are likely lots of reasons, and I don't really know. It doesn't really explain, but I can think of a few reasons why people might be afraid when God shows up. Part of it is probably just that the power of God is kind of scary, because God is very large and powerful, and we are very small and insignificant in the face of God. And in that sense, I imagine that being face to face with God is kind of like staring at a giant elephant with no cage between you and the elephant, right? It's just intimidating. Another reason for the fear might be that people are worried that God is showing up to punish them because they've done something wrong. It's kind of like when you're in school and you get called to the principal's office. You usually don't get called to the principal's office because you're doing a great job, right? It's either bad news or you've done something wrong. But there's a third possible reason why I think people in the Bible are sometimes afraid of God's direct presence. And this is the one I want to focus on today. I think sometimes in the Bible, people are afraid or perplexed or troubled by God's presence because they are afraid of what God is going to ask of them. They have their life worked out the way they're comfortable with, and they don't want God to show up unannounced and sort of mess up their plans. They are afraid of being inconvenienced. And actually, if we look again in the Bible and at some of these stories, this kind of sense is really common in the Bible. Look, for instance, at this famous story of Jonah, right, who is asked by God. He's kind of this prophet type, and he's asked by God to go to Nineveh, which was the enemy kingdom, and preach a message of repentance, that they needed to repent. And Jonah, who hated his enemies, didn't want to go and preach to them, and so, of course, he gets on a boat and tries to run away, which is how he gets swallowed by a whale or a fish, and goes through a bunch of stuff, all because he is not excited about God's call, right? He literally wants to run away from it. He does not want to follow it. We have good Moses, famous Moses, this amazing kind of saintly figure in our minds, who we think of as being perfect, but actually was continually arguing with God about his calling, right? God would say, "I'm sending you to Pharaoh to set my people free," and Moses would come up with every excuse he could think of to get off the hook. He told God, "I'm not powerful enough." He said, "I'm not a good speaker. I have a stutter." He said, "They won't listen to me," right? Whether it's my people or Pharaoh, no one's going to listen to me. I'm a nobody, right? So this wonderful figure we hold up was resistant of God's call because it was going to change his life. He didn't feel confident in it. And even Mary at the beginning of this story, I don't want to say she was closed to God's calling, but when Gabriel shows up and says, "Greetings, O favored one," in today's story, the Bible says that her initial emotional response was to feel troubled or perplexed, and that also she was afraid. And who could blame her if she was troubled and afraid? She's this insignificant, in a way, young lady of no account. She's not famous. She's not known for anything. She's just another young lady living in this area of Palestine 2,000 years ago. And she has a good thing going for her. She has a good fiancé in Joseph, who has a good career as a carpenter, who can provide a good life for her. And she probably has ideas about what her life is probably going to be like if she has her say. And those ideas probably don't involve becoming pregnant by the Holy Spirit. That was almost certainly not the plan. How could it be? At least not Mary's plan. And yet when Gabriel explains to her that she is to be the mother of God, the mother of the Son of God, and that the power of the Most High will come and put this child in her and overshadow her, the exceptional thing about Mary is she doesn't argue. She says, "Yes." She says in her own words, "Here I am, a servant of the Lord, let it be with me according to your word." I think a lot of times the idea of God's direct presence in our lives scares us too. We're more comfortable in a way with a God who's mainly a God of sort of principles and ideas, right? A set of ideas, because that's a manageable God. Because I can put the God of ideas in the drawer when I don't need them and then pull them out when I do need something. The God who is just an idea or a set of principles doesn't show up in my life and ask anything of me. He's just kind of in a book with some stories and ideas. And again, I could pull him out when it's convenient. The problem is that this God is not the real God. The real God is, as it says in the Bible, the God of the living God. And this living God often shows up unannounced. The living God calls us to a way of life, which is the way of Christ, and doesn't much care if the way of Christ gets in the way of our plans. The real God, who is Christ, comes to us and wants to crucify our hearts of stone, and as it says in Scripture, give us hearts of flesh, so that we can learn to love as Christ loves. You know, in truth, probably we don't see God or God's angels directly, at least not often. Maybe that's not the way most of us encounter God's presence most of the time. But I'll tell you this, every moment of your life, every moment of my life, every moment of all of their lives out there, God is present and God is calling to us. And as much as we make it a big thing or a miraculous thing or something that's hard to discern, what is God calling me to? What is Christ calling us to? If we know Christ, if we take the time to read about him and learn him and learn about him and pray to him, most of the time, the calling God is making to us in every moment is actually pretty clear, right? When I interact with someone, I don't always choose to be Christ-like. Sometimes I do, but sometimes I don't. But I can pretty well imagine what it would be like if I did, right? I can imagine what it means to be graceful towards people. You know, we don't always pray as we should, but if we chose to, all of us have words of prayer to say to God. All of us can speak to God in our hearts. We're not always as generous as we should be, but that doesn't mean we don't know what generosity is. We know what generosity would be, we just don't always choose to do it. The thing that makes Mary exceptional is when God comes to her directly and invites her into his plan for her life. Mary doesn't make excuses. Mary doesn't shut him down. Mary doesn't say, well, I have these plans. Mary says again, here am I, a servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. So what if this was our main prayer throughout the day? Just to echo Mary's words back to God. Here I am, your servant, let it be to me according to your word. I think that's what Mary can teach us today. Whatever our personal calling is, and it's probably not to carry the next Son of God, but whatever God is calling us to, Mary teaches us to get beyond that initial fear that God's plan for our lives is going to mess up our lives. In fact, God's plan for our lives is always better than our own. So once again, in this Christmas season and in our whole lives, let our prayer be Mary's prayer in our lives. Here I am, a servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Amen.